Welcome to the channel of Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Darren Roy. I'm the Assistant International Coordinator working under Dr. Keith Jenkins. Today's message is called Advent because most of the Western world and most Christians throughout the world will be celebrating Christmas or looking forward to celebrating Christmas by the time this video is released or round about the time this video is released. So today's message is called Advent because Advent is a time that most people would consider is a time of celebration or expectation leading up to Christmas or to Christmas Day, when we remember that Jesus came to this planet to take on human form, to live a life like us in a perfect way, fulfilling the law and all the promises of God, that we could be rescued through him. That is amazing. So we celebrate that time. We look back symbolically. I've heard songs that people sing on Christmas Day, singing, you know, born today is the Christ, or Christ is born today. He's not really born today. He was born over 2020 years ago. But we celebrate it and we remember it at Christmas time. So that word Advent, it means an important arrival. It means a coming. So it means like an arrival or a coming. That's what Advent means. Most people think it's opening a calendar, like an Advent calendar where you open it up and there's treats behind every day and you take it for all the days in December leading up to Christmas Day. But Advent doesn't mean the time leading up to Christmas. Well, it can do if you mean coming. But the important arrival, the most important arrival, was actually Christmas Day, wasn't it? Or the real Christmas Day, whenever that may have been, whatever time of year it was, when Jesus actually came to the planet. So if we are looking to Advent and we are considering Advent and the fact that Jesus came to this planet once, we must recognize that he is coming back again. He is coming back again. And there is a second Advent. There's a second coming. There's a second very important arrival. And we want to be ready. We want to be people who are ready for that important arrival. We're called to be people who are ready for that important arrival. Jesus is coming back again. He promised that. So we want to be people with expectation, with open hearts, with sincerity and fervor and passion for him, seeking him, ready for his return. There was someone like that in the scriptures, Simeon. Maybe we'll look at that. There was expecting Jesus to come the first time, and he did, and what God had promised him was fulfilled. But we want to be people that are expecting Jesus to come back. And he could come back at any time. There's certain scriptures that people look to that try and work it out and line up. But our responsibility is to seek Jesus, to know him. And we recognize that it'll all pan out in the end. We don't know what moment he will return. We don't know if it would be now, whether it would be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. We have no idea, but we do live with that expectation of the important arrival. Amen. When you're leading up to Christmas time, and many of you will have been opening calendars and taking a chocolate or a toy out or looking at a picture in that calendar as you've opened the calendar each day. And it's like you open the calendar, you open the door on the calendar, and there's a treasure behind, there's a gift behind. And I believe it's like that in our lives, that every single day, that God has got something really important for us to do, that he's got something, well, more than one thing, but he's got things that he wants us to do. That each day leading up to his second advent, his second coming, his second arrival, that we open that door and look in and see what surprise, what treat, or what gift has he got for us today, because each day is a gift to do something in love with him, to do something because we love him, to show him love through obedience, to live the day how he wants us to do. Now, it's not just every day he's got something for us to do. If we're walking in step with the Spirit, it's every minute, every second he can send a signal and direct and lead our lives. But as we're looking to Jesus coming back with in his second return, in his second coming, we want to make sure that we're people who are making the most of every single day. In some ways, that we're counting our days, like Moses says, that we would count our days and get a heart of wisdom, that we would make the most of every opportunity. He really is coming back. That's amazing. And if people get excited about Christmas, most people in the world who are not following Jesus, they're excited about what Christmas represents in presents and gifts and being with family, and they get excited. But as believers, we can kind of get excited as we look towards Christmas and realize what it was really about. But how much more should we be excited about what's coming? That our King is coming back, that Jesus is returning, and that he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be ready. So yeah, he wants us to be ready, and we look forward to his return. But what was the reason for his first arrival? What was the real meaning of Christmas? Most people would think it's like a little baby in a manger. Well, there's a surprise, isn't there, that our King is not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as a conquering King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the coming judge. That's who's coming back. Not a little baby this time, meek and mild, but a God powerful, ready to judge and ready to give each person according to what they have done. That should bring a kind of sober reverence to us, shouldn't it, about the next return. But what was the reason for his first return? What was the reason? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Wow. "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming as the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, amen, to the glory of God the Father." That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came to this planet. That's why Jesus was born as a baby. Not to be the baby, but to see his life through, to be obedient in whatever the Father directed him to do. He humbled himself and became of no reputation. We're following Jesus. If we're following Jesus, we need to make sure we follow that humble King, that we follow his example. Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He didn't see it robbery, or he didn't see that being equal with God is something that he should go after and grab and take. But he humbled himself, stripped himself of all rightful privileges to become like a servant. Our Jesus became a servant. That's amazing that this ministry is called Servants of the Lord Ministries. Servants of the Lord. Servants of the one who came first as a servant. Servant of Jesus Christ, who now has been given the name above every name. That name, Lord. We are servants of that Lord, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we should confess and acknowledge that he is the Lord now. That he is the master. He is the one with the rights to control our lives. He is the one who owns us and has the rights to possess us and to do what he wants. We're at his disposal. We wait on him. He is our King. We've got to let that mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And he lived a life on this earth in a very poor time. He had to escape from people who were hunting him down, or his family did, his adopted parents, shall we say, fled with him to keep him safe. He lived a short life, but he fulfilled all the promises of God and all the directions of God in that short life. What an example to us. And that's the King we're following, a King who chose to get his hands dirty, you know, in the sense of not dirty in sin, but like to live the life that we would live and to show us how it's done. That King's coming back. And he was obedient to death on the cross. What would you be obedient up to? Would you see your obedience through to whatever God has called you to do? Most of us will probably not have to die or lay down our lives, but we certainly have to be prepared to. And we do need to lay down our personal choices and preferences and our life in this world. We need to lay down our agendas and plans, and we do need to die to the flesh and we need to live to the spirit. Amen. But Jesus' obedience was very special. The word that he said in Philippians in verse 8, where it says he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That word obedient, it's taken from Strong's. It's Strong's number. Greek, it's a Greek 5255. Hupekoos, Greek 5255. You know what it means? It doesn't just mean obedience. It means attentively listening. Attentively listening. Giving ear to obedience. Now, it's only used three times in scriptures, but it describes Jesus here in his obedience to the cross, in his obedience to death on the cross. He was attentively listening. It's like a Hebrew word that I love called hineni, and that means listening to the Lord, ready to do his will, listening for instructions. Jesus did that. He was attentively listening to his Father. And if that same mind is to be in us that was in Christ Jesus, then we want to be people who are attentive to our Father. Well, attentive to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, paying attention, listening carefully to do his will. You might think, well, if listening carefully gets me to where Jesus got to, then I'm not sure I want to do that. God knows what's best for you. He has the plan for your life. Not every one of us is going to have to literally lay down our lives, but we've got to be prepared to. But we certainly have to live for the one who laid down his life for us. Jesus died for us. We now live for him. Amen. So let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. As we look to his return, his second return, his second advent, the second coming. What an amazing thing. I mean, I would love to be alive, and maybe I believe it will, but I'd love to be alive when he returns and to see that. But either way, it doesn't matter whether we're dead or alive. Those that are alive won't precede those that are dead. Either way, it's going to be absolutely awesome when Jesus returns. So let's have expectation, and let's have that mind of Christ in us. Let's keep that humility. Let's keep looking to him. Let's have that heart of obedience that he demonstrated. Amen. Let's recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we can say, yeah, we will say, make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And what we mean by that is that Jesus Christ has the right to control and direct, to lead your life every minute of every day. He's the master. He's the one who calls the shots. That's what we mean by that. But we don't mean you're going to make him Lord, like you're going to say, right, Jesus, you are now the Lord. He already is the Lord. He already is the master. He already is in control. The Father's already given him the name that's above every other name. Our responsibility now is to submit to that, to acknowledge that, and to accept that, and bow the knee now. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ, bow the knee to his Lordship. Amen. When we're thinking of Christmas when Jesus came to this earth the first time, there is an example of somebody who was expectingly waiting for Jesus, who was expecting to see him because God had promised him that he would see him. Now, I don't know how it's going to work for us, but I know there's definitely going to be a generation that will not pass before it sees all the different signs coming together and Jesus' return. But let's look at Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, which means anointed one. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So Simeon was a devout man who God had promised would see the Messiah before he died. and see how happy and excited he was. Let your servant depart in peace, as in my life's desire and ambition and hopes of being fulfilled. I have seen the Christ in this child that was brought to the temple, as according to the custom. That's amazing. Now, I don't know if God has told you that. I don't know if God has told you that you'll see Jesus's second coming, his second advent. But there's definitely signs in the scriptures about what will be around at that time. So we want to make sure that we're not just looking at the signs, not just reading things into every little, like looking at conspiracies and every little thing that happens. But with the Spirit, having an openness to the Spirit to see what's going on and realize how fragile this world is, how fragile, how things can change in any moment. How, look at COVID, how it shut the world down and how people were in their homes and not allowed to leave. No one would ever have thought that would happen. And there's wars and earthquakes and volcanoes and all sorts of things all over the world. And I'm not saying these things are completely unusual, but what I am saying is that be aware that this world is fragile and it is passing away. So I don't know if God, he could do, and if he has, and if the Holy Spirit has bore witness to you to say you'll be alive, then you rejoice, because God will keep his promises just like he kept his promises to Simeon. If you will be alive to see Jesus' return, and God has told you that by the Holy Spirit, that is true. But I believe God spoke to Simeon in that way for a certain reason, because it says he was a just and devout man. That means God-fearing. He was a God-fearing man. He honored God, and he was careful not to offend God. He was a righteous man. He was a sure man in his faith. I mean, that reverent would be a good word. Reverent is in the Strong's definition. He was reverent towards God. So if we wanted to be people that could hear those sort of things from God, we want to make sure that we're showing some reverence to do what God already told us to do, and showing some reverence and fear and respect to him. Amen. But Simeon had been chosen, and he lived a godly life. But you know what's amazing? It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. How much more, by the gift of that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, how much more should we be filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit according to the gift of Jesus Christ that's made it possible for Gentiles, non-Jewish believers, to enter into the presence of God and to live with him? What a gift. What an amazing gift. And if Jesus is coming, well, he is coming back, but when Jesus comes back as the judge, we don't want to find ourselves in a place where we didn't make the most of the opportunity that he gave us because he laid down his life. He laid down his life that we could enter his presence to have love, joy, peace, that we'd have the power to live the Christian life. He laid down his life for that. We don't want to be people who don't make the most of that opportunity and then face him in the judgment with that on our account. Let's be people full of the Spirit, doing what God wants us to do, obedient, reverence, following Simeon's example in some ways, being reverent and God-fearing, amen, listening for those instructions that he's got for us. It says here in verse 27 that he came by the Spirit into the temple. That's fascinating. Some translations word it like led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. God gave him a promise that he would see the Messiah. And how did that come about? How did he enter the temple the same day of all the people that's children were being presented at different times to the temple? How did he know that was the moment, that was the time to be in there? How did he know that this is where to be so that the promise of God would be fulfilled? He didn't. But how did he know that was the moment to go into the temple? He was led by the Holy Spirit. The promise of God came about in his life because he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit in a very small detail. People think, well, God only wants to answer the big things and maybe some of the smaller things, but not really small things. God, the Holy Spirit, led this man, Simeon, into the temple. It's a bit like, there's a church building or a building that we have for a church here in Ulverston. And it's like if God wants me to be there, you know, maybe things are going on there and there's promises and things that God wants to do, or there's certain people to meet. The only way that I would know to be there at the right time when those people are there is by the Holy Spirit. That might seem insignificant. People say, oh, you can go down when you want. Go to the building when you want. Go when you feel like it. Go when it's convenient. No, go when the Holy Spirit tells you to go. I don't care what shop it is, whether it's a certain type of superstore or another type of superstore. Just do the little things the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and you will see God do amazing things. He's got loads of appointments set up for you. Like I said at the beginning of this, it's like those surprises behind the door of the Advent calendar. If you would be like Simeon, be led by the Holy Spirit, even a normal day thing, a normal day occurrence, if you're led by the Spirit, will lead to something amazing. In Simeon's case, the promise of his lifetime was fulfilled, and it's recorded in Scripture. Amen. We've definitely got a scripture in Revelation 22 and verse 20, where Jesus says he is coming quickly. He says, behold, no, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And then it says, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Could you say that? Could you say, even so, come Lord Jesus? He says he's coming quickly. So, you know, the scriptures are clear that whatever you perceive as quick, the only reason that Jesus wouldn't be quick is because he's not slack or slowing or tardy in fulfilling his promises. It's that he wants everyone to repent. But if Jesus is coming quickly, can you say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, or amen to that? You see, often if you are not where you should be in the Lord, often people cannot pray that. They get a fear. They're not looking forward to Jesus' return. They've got an agenda. They're hiding things. They're not happy about his return because he's going to catch them out. He's going to come like a thief in the night and find them up to no good. Well, let's make sure that while we've got time and while today is today, that we do repent and get the things out of our lives that should be out of our lives, and that we can say with an honest and clear heart before God by the Holy Spirit that we can actually say, amen, even so come. Jesus returning should be an exciting and wonderful time for any Christian. And if your life is not lining up, or your lifestyle or what you're doing is not honouring God, and you know that, then you've got an opportunity to repent, because God wants no one to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. So come to repentance while today is still today, while you still can. Make sure Jesus is the Lord. Make him the Lord of your life. Allow him to be in control. Recognise that you don't run your own life. Be full of the Spirit. Grow in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be baptised in the Spirit. Amen. Certainly be led by him. So let's make sure that we are ready for Jesus' return, and we can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We call it Jesus' return. It's actually the second advent. Jesus is coming again. And that's amazing. Verse 32 is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Some other more contemporary translations say, a God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations. Isn't that amazing? That we as Gentiles can know Jesus Christ, that he is a light to us, that we can turn to him. What a gift. Now, we want to make sure that we are not making light of that promise or that gift. It is crucial that we recognize that just because we've been grafted in doesn't mean that we are permanent, or that we have an inerrant right to. God could remove us. And I want to just look at some things around that. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 11, verse 19. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, meaning the Jews, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So as we look forward to Jesus' return, and we look at our lives and what they look like and whether we are obedient or whether there's areas to change and repent of, whether Jesus is the Lord, whether we're full of the Spirit, if there's things we need to apply, the mission or a plan that he's got us, that he's called us to. When we look at those things in the light of his second coming, we want to make sure that we recognize both the goodness and severity of God. If you continue in goodness, doing things God's way, being led by the Holy Spirit, with Jesus being in control, if you carry on in that goodness, then you are going to get goodness. But if you choose to walk away and you turn your faith away from God and you put your faith into something else, into yourself or into some other crazy idea, you put your faith somewhere else other than where it should be, which is in Jesus Christ, him being the Lord. If we put our faith in, if we don't do that, then you'll be cut off, just like the Jews were originally. So we want to make sure that we recognize that there is a severity to God. It's not all just one-sided. It's not all just loving the goodness, the wonderful goodness of God. It's also, our God can be severe. He can be strict. He demands repentance. He wants to see change. He wants to see fruit. This is how our Father is glorified, when we produce much fruit. So as we're looking forward to Jesus' return, let's make sure we continue in God's goodness to walk in those ways. Because if God wanted to, we're a privileged people. What have I got to do in this little town that I live in this little wooden cabin? What have I got to do with Jesus Christ, a Jewish king who came to save them? What have I got to do with a God born as man 2020 odd years ago in Israel? What's that got to do with me? Well, because of what Jesus did, it's an amazing gift and opportunity that the whole world could know him, because God loved the whole world. But that blessing came through the Jewish religion, or it came through Jews, Jesus himself being a Jew. So I want to make sure that I recognize that I've been given an amazing light. A light has come to the Gentiles through the Jewish people. And if the Jewish people, because of their unbelief and their ignorance and their rejection of Jesus, have been cut off, I don't want to be haughty and negligent and stupid and unreverencing I want to keep a reverence towards God, that I may continue to stay connected to Jesus, to be connected to his tree, his roots, that I continue to abide in the vine. Amen. That's important, that we recognize there is a goodness and severity to God. And we'll find that when we'll discover that on his return, when he will judge. We'll discover that. So now, while today is still today, make sure that we look towards his return. And yes, we're celebrating Christmas and we're enjoying Christmas maybe at this time, but let that sense of him coming back again stir in your heart. And I don't want it to be fearful. It should be an exciting and wonderful time, just like what Christmas is for most people. It's a time of celebration. It's time to look up. It's a time to rejoice. It's a time to see that peace and justice and goodness and our God is coming to rescue, he's coming to save us. Those are good things. But I'm saying, but if you're not walking how you should and you know your life's not right, then make the adjustments now so that you can get excited about Jesus' second return, second coming, and be on fire and look into that. Amen. Now, I just want to turn to Philippians. I want to go back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And, there's a sense sometimes that people have that it's this Christian walk is hard and I need to repent and I need to get things right and I need to get these things working and I need to make sure Jesus is Lord and I need to make sure Jesus is in control and I'm full of the Spirit. And you do need to make sure that, because that's the crucial point. But, the point is that It's not about you trying harder in your own flesh. Flesh cannot kill flesh. You cannot save yourself. It's not about you trying harder to be a Christian or trying harder to be ready for his return. You can't clean yourself up. It's about God working in you and you submitting to that control. It's about God doing what he wants to do in you. It's like being molded by God on a potter's wheel. It's like your responsibility is to allow God to do what he wants. When we say Jesus is the Lord and Jesus is the Master, and Jesus commands you to repent or demands repentance, when we look at those things, it's like you can't do those things by yourself without him. It has to be by him and his power. Otherwise, we wouldn't even need Jesus. We wouldn't even need the Holy Spirit. So your reliance has to be on God, that he's the one that will do what he wants to do through you if you will trust him. Amen. So it's like being on a potter's wheel where he's molding you. And if you are not oily and allowing yourself to be molded, I think malleable is the word. If you're not malleable, then what good are you to the one who's molding you? But if you just allow him to do what he wants, you've got no resistance, no agenda. You don't want what you want anymore. You want what he wants. You're just allowing him to mold you on that wheel and he'll turn you into what you're supposed to be without you trying very hard, because the commands of God are not burdensome. His commands are not difficult. His yoke is easy and his burden's light. How is that possible if we're supposed to do all these different things? Because you fall on him and his promises and allow him and his promises to do what needs to be done in you. I was saying in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's amazing. Let's look at what it says in the Amplified. In the Amplified, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. He is the one energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Your responsibility is to fall on him, fall on Jesus. It's his strength, it's his power of work in you. He's the one energizing, he's the one making it happen. Your responsibility is to fall on him and his promises and to get out of the way. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to cooperate. It doesn't mean you don't have to start walking home like the prodigal son does. It doesn't mean you've got to cleanse yourself. You do cleanse yourself, but where's the soap coming from if you're cleansing yourself? Well, my point is that even when the scriptures talk about cleansing yourself, it does mean by relying on God and his way of doing it. You cannot do any of it independently of him. Amen. Even your repentance has to be done in God. Jesus is the Lord of your repentance. The coming judge, the coming king is the Lord of your repentance. You can't just decide today what you're going to repent of. Well, you can cooperate with God with the conviction from the Holy Spirit. But even if you did that, where did that conviction come? It came from God. He's the one who starts everything. He's the one who energizes everything. It's God that does the work in you so that he can get the glory. Your responsibility is to get out the way. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you help God a little, he can do a lot. If you don't help God at all, you just get out of the way, he can do anything. That's the quote from Arthur Burt that Joseph uses. So get out the way and let God be God in your life and you will grow rapidly. You will be looking forward to his return. You'll be in a position where you are right with God, in right standing with him. You'll be in a place of fellowship and closeness and intimacy, that you'll be making the most of the gift of eternal life. What would you have to fear? I don't mean reverential fear. I mean panic fear. The scriptures tell us that perfect love casts out all fear, because fear brings with it that sense of judgment and torment. If you're growing in love with God, falling on his promises, obeying commands that he gives you to do, obeying them by the Spirit empowering you, then you're going to grow in love. And as that love grows and matures, it's going to cast out fear, that sense of panic and worry and Jesus coming back and I'm not ready and I'm not clean and I'm not right. Get right, but get right with him and his power. He's the one effectually at work in you, amen? So fall on his promises. Jesus is really a good saviour. And the Holy Spirit really is a good empowerer. That power that he pours into us, to that dynamite style power. It doesn't really mean it's dynamite, but it's like, it's where we get the word dynamite from. It just it's that power, dynamo, dynamite. It's just power to live the Christian life comes from him. One more time from the Amplified. It says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." Wow. So we look to the second advent. We look to him coming. And if you're doing those things that you're supposed to do, if you're falling on the promises of God, if you're trusting Jesus, if you're trusting the Lord with all your heart, you're not using your own understanding, you're moving forward in him. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything fixed. But if you're in right standing with God, that's the measure. And if you're working out your salvation but with reverence and humility, you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, another way to put it, with fear and trembling, you're moving forward bit by bit, then God sees the end from the beginning. And on his return, when the trumpet sounds, in the blink of an eye, you can be transformed, changed in the blink of an eye, to be known like you are fully known, like in the blink of an eye, suddenly made into everything you're supposed to be and revealed of the revelation of who you really are as Jesus returns. That's amazing. But to be in that position, you have to make sure you're right with him now. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, as in have everything working correctly. It means you need to be moving forward with what he's asking you to do, being obedient, led by the Spirit, doing his will, but by his power at work in you. That's the important part. Amen. That's the important part. Even if you weren't the finished article, there was an angel that Michelangelo was making. I think this is the correct quote. Michelangelo was, tasked with carving an angel out of marble or stone, and someone asked him about it, and he said, "I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set it free. I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set it free." That's what God's doing with you. He can see the angel in the marble. He can see who you're supposed to be. He can see what you'll be look like when you're set free. So he just works away at carving and moving things until the angel, you, appear and are set free. But if you weren't completely ready, but you're allowing him to do the work that he wants to do, even if, you know, just a part of your features were coming out and you weren't finished on his return, on his second coming, then in an instant, he can turn you into who you're supposed to be. But your responsibility is to just do the bits he's telling you to do now. And there's no way of getting around that. There is no excuse for not doing what God wants you to do now and moving forward in him as he directs now. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle or blemish. That's a high standard. And you've got no way of making yourself without spot, wrinkle and blemish. In fact, if you try and fix yourself without the Holy Spirit, without God's help, without Jesus' lordship, without him being in control, then you are going to just create more blemishes, more wrinkles, more spots. You're going to make more of a problem. Just go to him, fall on his promises and allow him to do what he wants to do in you. Jesus is coming back again. And it's a great time, Christmas time. It has lovely feelings to many people. Some people don't like it. It's not lovely for everybody. Some people have painful memories. But I'm saying, if we looked at the Christian side of it, so not what the world's made it about, like lots of food and lots of money being spent and all those sort of things. I mean, when we look to the realities of what it means to us, that Jesus came to this planet. We know he came to this planet. We've experienced God. We've sensed and felt him. It's too late for someone to tell me that Jesus wasn't real. It's too late. I already know Jesus. I'm already getting to know him. I'm already developing a relationship with him. He's already introduced himself to me. I already know who he is. It's too late to tell me Jesus isn't real. So I know, because he came, because he's revealed himself, that he is true to his word and he's true to his promise. So let's get excited about his return. It's not a time to be fearful. It's not a time to be sad. It's a time of rejoicing. It's not a Christian responsibility to look around the world seeing all the bad things happen and go, it's scary. We look up, like Joseph shared with us a couple of years ago on a video he sent. We look up to him. the one who can rescue, the one who will rescue. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Be ready. Get ready. Get excited. Get passionate about him. At Christmas time, yes, enjoy Christmas time as you remember his first return. But don't forget, he's coming back as a judge. He's coming back as like a roaring lion. He's coming back on a white charger with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thigh. He's coming back to judge. He's going to open the books and we're all going to have to give an account for our lives. Yes, it's fearful in some ways and it brings awe, but it's also exciting. So look to that. Look to him. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, but for salvation." That means next time, he's not coming to fix the problem with sin. He's not coming to die for sin. He's coming apart from sin. This time he's coming for salvation. But who's he coming for? When he comes for salvation, when he's coming the second time, who's he coming for? He's coming for those who eagerly wait for him. That's the ones he's coming for. Yes, it's appointed that we will be judged. It's appointed that man die once and then judgment. But Christ was offered for the sins of many. If we would trust him, our Saviour, it's not just a one-time thing where in the middle of church, you raise your hand and say, "I give my life to Jesus. I trust him. I trust what he did. I trust he's my Saviour. Amen. That's it. I'm now saved." It's a continual trust in him for our salvation, that he paid for our sins, a continual state of trust in Jesus, that he paid the price, trusting in what he did, that his life was enough, that the price he paid was enough, that if we would confess, he would forgive. And he's an amazing, wonderful God, and we cling to those promises of him. And therefore, he covers or wipes away the sins of many. So be eager, be expectant, be expectantly waiting for him. This Hebrew scripture, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, where it says, "To those who eagerly wait for him." That was like Simeon that we talked about earlier. It's like Simeon. He was expectant. He was eager. He was keen. He was seeking God. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure that we follow those examples. Be eager for Jesus. Amen. Be eager for him. I'm going to close with this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that should any perish, but that all should come to repentance." The reason that Jesus isn't back today, the reason that the judgment's not happening right now and that the end of the world is not taking place is because of God's so love, that he's so gracious, that he doesn't desire that any should perish, that he wants all to come to repentance. So use the time now to come to repentance, to seek him, to make the most of the opportunities that he's given. Then it goes on to talk about what's going to happen, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, so no one knows when it's going to happen. And the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, right, because of all these things, because of what's happening, because of what's going to happen and the end of the world, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In the new heaven and new earth, righteousness is going to dwell. Righteousness, God's way of doing and being right, is what is going to dwell there. It's not going to be about man's ideas, own ideas, doing what we feel like is the best thing for us. It's going to, the new heavens and the new earth are going to be places where righteousness dwells. God's way of doing and being right is what's going to dwell there. That's how it's going to be done. So if you don't like God's way of doing and being right now, if you don't like God's way of doing things now, then you need to repent, because you're not going to like God's way of doing things in the new heaven and new earth that we look towards. But consider what sort of conduct and manner you should be living now, because we recognize that this whole world is going to be burned up. It's going to roll up like a scroll. The universe rolled up like a scroll, or the earth rolled up. Let's make sure that we are making the most of the gift of eternal life. Make sure we're reverent, and make sure that we're practicing what we're going to have to do in the new heaven and the new earth anyway. Let's make sure we're practicing God's way of being right and doing righteousness. That's what's going to be important. Amen. It says in verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." So let's make sure we're diligent to be found in peace. Meaning, make every effort to be at peace with him. Make every effort to be at peace with Jesus. Some people were very sad and annoyed that Jesus turned up 2020 plus years ago as a little baby. Well, let's make sure that we're going to meet him on peaceful terms. Let's make sure that we are in a place where when Jesus returns, the first thing an angel would say to us is, "Do not fear." That would be great, wouldn't it, if we're in a position for that. Let's make sure that we're living the life that he's called us to live. Make sure we're living in holy conduct, right conduct, changing, doing what he wants us to do, living the Christian life. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a God that doesn't just demand or command things from us, but actually gives us the power to live the life or to do the thing he's called us to do. If he asks us to do something, there's faith attached to it. If we direct our faith back into him with the thing he's asked us to do, we'd be able to do it. If we put our faith into him and he's asked us to do something that looks impossible, if our faith is in him, he will provide what's needed to make it happen. Even our repentance is done in his power. But we can't ignore the fact that we are to be people living a life of right conduct, at peace with the King who is coming back. I would say have a great Christmas. Have a great Christmas time. Try and sense that anticipation and expectation that the world had in those days when he says the light shone in the darkness. What a dark world it was when Jesus came into it. It was like it was a difficult time, and the Romans were conquering and harassing and dictating and taking over people and treating them badly and misusing and abusing. And it was a tough time to live. And in that place of hopelessness and darkness, Jesus was born in that, into that light. He brought light into the world, into the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. Well, if we're living in a world of darkness now, we are to shine like lights. We're to shine like stars. But I tell you what, there is one coming back. There is a light coming back. There is a light who's going to return to this earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord. So let's be ready for him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you came to this planet 2000 and so many years ago. I thank you that you came to fulfill the promises just like you said. Lord, I do ask that everyone watching this video would be stirred in their hearts by your Spirit to live the life you've called them to live, to expect your return, to look to your return, and to be in a position where they know they're going to meet you on peaceful terms. I ask, Lord, that we look for every adventure that you have made available each and every day, that you remind us, you bring back to our remembrance by your Spirit the idea that you have got something to do, you've got instructions and commands all the time for us, and those things lead to wonderful adventures and surprises. I thank you. You didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't leave us on our own. But you sent your Spirit to empower us, to guide us, to lead us. Lord, help us to make the most of those little moments. Show us how to make the most of those seemingly insignificant moments that don't seem important, but turn out to be absolutely amazing. We want to do your will in the details and in everything, Lord. And if not, Lord, I ask that you would convict those that do not want to get ready and do not realize the time and season they're living in. I ask that you would convict them, that they would turn to you and find that peace, forgiveness, and mercy they need to move forward. Lord, come quickly. Come to this earth. Come back quickly, Lord. I thank you for your second advent. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
If you want to abide in the Spirit, to grow up as a Christian, and to finish the race set before you, wake up, time is running out. The book from Joseph Hedgecock is written for you. Volume 1 in the Wake Up series gives simple, detailed instructions about how to build solid spiritual foundations and the steps needed to become truly spiritual. It gives practical examples to teach you how to abide in God's presence and enjoy the benefits of your salvation. The body of Christ needs to wake up. Get your copy from Servants of the Lord Ministries today. Imagine being a prisoner when there's actually a way to freedom. Instead of staying in your prison, why not discover God's way of escape? The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock is a book for those who want to walk with God, for those who want to be free and have no intention of being deceived. It identifies the tactics of the enemy that hinder you. It clarifies how to rescue yourself from obvious and subtle traps. If you walk with the Lord but are not growing as you should, this book will help you overcome your flesh and the devil's accesses. Discover freedom as you walk in the light. This book and others are available from Servants of the Lord Ministries today.